Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus. Thanks for being here with us for our service today. This morning we celebrate the Sunday of the Transfiguration of our Lord Jesus when he reveals himself to be truly God in the flesh to his disciples. And we're blessed to also enjoy the benefits of having a Lord and a God who was willing to go to the cross and die for us and be raised on the third day for our salvation. Our service this morning begins with our processional hymn. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio today. Thanks for joining us, and we wish you the Lord's blessings too. Our hymn is 414 this morning, "'Tis Good Lord to Be Here." And we do invite the congregation to please stand, if you're able, for that hymn this morning, and turn and face the back of the sanctuary for our procession with the cross for our Transfiguration Sunday. So at this time, let's stand, if we're able, and we'll sing together hymn 414. We begin this morning in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. We continue with our introit this morning, spoken from Psalm 99. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. The Lord reigns, let the peoples tremble. He sits enthroned upon the cherubim, let the earth quake. The Lord is great in Zion, he is exalted over all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. Holy is he. The king in his might loves justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God. Worship at his footstool. Holy is he.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy mountain, for the Lord our God is holy. We continue with our Kyrie this morning. In peace let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. To God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, in the glorious transfiguration of your beloved Son, you confirm the mysteries of the faith by the testimony of Moses and Elijah. In the voice that came from the bright cloud, you wonderfully foreshadowed our adoption by grace. Mercifully make us co-heirs with the King in his glory and bring us to the fullness of our inheritance in heaven. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated.
The Old Testament reading is from Exodus, the 34th chapter. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him. And Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what he was commanded, the people of Israel would see his face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The epistle is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold, not like Moses, who put a veil over his face so that the Israelites might not gaze at the outcome of what was being brought to an end. Therefore, having this ministry by the mercy of God, we do not lose heart. But we have renounced disgraceful, underhanded ways. We refuse to practice cunning or to tamper with God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we would commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled only to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For what we proclaim is not ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, with ourselves as your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," has shone in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
This time we invite the congregation to please stand and turn and face the cross as it processes to the center of the nave, and sing our Alleluia verse while we're processing for the gospel reading. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 9th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. and he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah with Moses, and they were talking with Jesus. And Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." For he did not know what to say, for they were terrified. And a cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud, "This is my beloved Son, listen to him." And suddenly, looking around, they no longer saw anyone with them, but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
We join together in the doxology. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for the Transfiguration? That's 537, Beautiful Savior. Let's sing together. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Jesus comes first. He must come first. Our text for this morning from this account of the transfiguration, sounds like a big word, trans meaning change, figuration meaning figure, a change of figure is what the word is saying. But this account seems to have quite an interesting and purposeful sequence of events that take place in the account. In all three accounts of this event, from Matthew's gospel, from our text today from Mark, and from Luke's gospel, there's a purposeful progression by our Lord towards his disciples, Peter, James, and John. This is our reading from this morning, verse 2 of Mark chapter 9. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves. Now, it's true that Moses and Elijah show up in the text as well, but not until a little bit later in the narrative before they show up. And it's only after Jesus is transfigured, the disciples by themselves with Jesus on top of the mountain see him changed in appearance before their very eyes. And he does this to reveal the fullness of his identity as God himself made flesh, to show them his preeminence in all things. Mark accounts it for us in verse 3. If you've got that in your text there, you follow along. And his clothes became radiant, intensely white, as no one on earth could bleach them. That's pretty white. Shockingly obvious. Matthew, in his account, this is Matthew chapter 17, says, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Luke's gospel, chapter 9 of his gospel, says, the appearance of his face was altered, and his clothing became dazzling white. That's interesting that in all three accounts, once he's transfigured, then and only then do Moses and Elijah show up. The reason? We must see Jesus as God, and that he comes first in our lives and the scriptures. We must see it's all about him. He comes first. He must come first. And in life we say, well, there's a lot of stuff that I gotta do every week, Pastor. What do you mean? This is the blessing of his ascension. Once ascended into heaven, now every single thing we do is service to Jesus, so he can come first in all things. You hear this question, you know, what's the purpose of life? People have asked me that question. Some will even say, what's the secret to life? What do you say to that when somebody says that to you? I don't know. But the Bible does know. And it tells us quite plainly. It's Christ. It's Jesus of Nazareth, the center of life. He's the exact center of all creation. He comes first in everything. Listen to the Apostle Paul in Colossians 1, verse 17. He says, and Jesus is before all things. That's how he puts it. And then this one. In Jesus, all things hold together. Sounds like the center to me. You know, that's true in your life as well and in mine. In Jesus, all things hold together. We could say, in Jesus, all families are held together. We could say, in Jesus, all relationships are held together. In Jesus, all businesses are held together. It's important that we realize that without Christ, without this beautiful thing that we kind of get used to in life and in relationships at times called forgiveness, without that, if we need a perfect, clear example of how Jesus holds all things together, think about that word for a minute, forgiveness. Without it, there is no relationships. Everybody's out for themselves. It's rabid, it's wild when we won't forgive. We can't understand our lives or our Bibles without Jesus. And anybody who tries is stumbling, to put it best. Jesus himself said it. He said, they're blind guides. It's like blind leading the blind. They both fall into the ditch. They walk without the light of faith in Jesus. And it is, as the psalmist puts it in Psalm 119, that his word, is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. All the Old Testament accounts, like the Exodus from Egypt, remember that one? Where the Israelites are led out of Egypt through the Red Sea into the desert and then eventually onto the Promised Land. Christ is the center of that reality. Paul will go as far to say in Corinthians that he'll say the Israelites are baptized into Moses in the water of the Red Sea. It's all about Christ. He has to come first in all their meanings. That's why we've got this order, this purposeful order in the narrative of the Transfiguration. Because Jesus comes first, and then Moses and Elijah, or then the Scriptures. Another good one is the Passover account. Remember the Passover, the night the angel of death passes over the Israelites and the Egyptians? And the Israelites have to take the blood of the sacrificed lamb and put it on the doorposts and the lintels of their house. And then once that's covered, then the angel of death doesn't stop and take their firstborn son. The blood saves them from that reality of death. If Jesus doesn't come first, we don't understand that story at all. That the lamb's blood that's sacrificed saves the people from death. That's what's going on at Calvary, at the cross, where Jesus sheds his blood on the doorposts of our world. And it's his blood, the eternal sacrifice, who saves us from eternal death. Jesus comes first, yes, in our understanding of everything Moses wrote and everything Elijah wrote. During the Passover, part of the reality of it was the people eating the lamb that was sacrificed in haste, remember? Because they were getting ready to leave. If we can't see that as the foretelling of what we do in the Lord's Supper, where we eat the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world, and then in haste, it is, because we don't know how long we'll be here. None of us. If we fail to see Jesus coming first, like he did that day on the Mount of the Transfiguration, showing himself, revealing himself before the appearance of Moses and Elijah, then we miss and misunderstand the goal and the point of the entire Bible. It all points to him. He holds all things together, even my Bible. Yeah. Yeah. He comes first. He must come first before Moses, before Abraham, in all things. And in fact, it was Jesus who said, if you recall, before Abraham was, I am, he told them. Another example. Moses wrote, Exodus chapter 21 in the law. And he said this, or he wrote this, an eye for an eye, familiar? And a tooth for a tooth. But if we read that without Christ enlightening the text, shining through it, if he's not first in our understanding, then we don't understand that law. We don't get it. It was true. Therefore, Christ gave his eyes and his teeth to the hands of the people who beat him before he went to the cross. If we read it without Christ, we don't understand it. The law is fulfilled in Jesus. He took the justice of eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth on himself. Jesus first. Then and only then can we see Moses or Elijah. It's true in the scriptures. We can display it. In fact, if you're not doing anything for a while, we can keep going. It's awesome. It really is cool. But it's also true in our lives, our everyday lives. This is the most amazing thing I think that the scripture gives us, or one of the most amazing things, is that your life and my life are actually, contrary to popular opinion, not about you. And mine's not about me. That's what we think. But in thinking that, we fail to see how it really works. We are each here on this earth, as Jesus and Moses said, to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. And the ascension of Christ into the heavens laid that out in such a beautiful and amazing way that now when you go to work, when you do anything throughout your day today, you serve him and you fulfill those things, and so do I. It's almost unfair if you think about it. Everything we do unto the Lord. This is Christ. It's what he did. It's what he's still doing in all of us. Consider what the voice in our text said when it spoke from the cloud. That was verse 7. A cloud overshadowed them, and a voice came out of the cloud. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him. Well, why? Because he comes first. In him, all things hold together. There's lots of voices in our lives. I get it. They're in mine too. They're in all of our lives. Voices crying out for you and me to put anything, I mean anything, first. Ahead of Christ. Ahead of our God. Voices that cry out for justice. But the justice they cry for isn't really justice at all. It's not God's justice. It's a Christless concept of justice, because they're not willing to love God with their heart, their soul, their mind, or their strength, and they're not even close to willing to love their neighbor as themselves. But instead, they demand their rights and their privileges, and they call it justice. Jesus said this in the Gospel of John, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." What's the voice of Christ? It's Moses and Elijah, the law and the prophets, understood and enlightened and lit up for you and for me by Jesus. Literally, Moses' face shining on the pages of the Old Testament with the light of Jesus. So we do know his voice. He was right, obviously. Because we have a Bible, and it's been lit up by Christ. You know, those other voices in life too, they're pretty easy to recognize if we pay attention. They're usually crying something like this: "It's not fair." That's a favorite of those other voices. Or, here's a popular one lately: You deserve it. We'll be wary of that, my friends. Be very wary of that. Like you've earned something for yourself that you don't have, that God hasn't given you already. Ooh. Christ's voice speaks through his word of the grace and mercy from God, of his death on a cross for you and for me. And it speaks that word throughout the entire Old Testament account when it's lit up by Jesus so we can see it. He speaks of good things, yeah. It doesn't speak of good things withheld from you or me to make it unfair or some kind of injustice that God's not giving us what we're actually due. And how many of our prayers actually kind of, if we're honest, sound like that? But it's instead truth. The scriptures will tell us the truth. When nothing else in the world will, when no other voice will tell us the truth, the scriptures will tell it to us that we haven't actually earned anything when it comes to God. No one can boast, as Paul said. All have sinned and fallen short of his glory. And you know what that means? That all those cries for unfairness and justice and all that nonsense, people cry out that they're the victim and so they should be placated. What this text means, that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God so that no one can boast, it means actually no one's a true victim. But we hear people all the time, today it's super popular, they're saying, look at us, we're so hurt. I'm a victim, give me what I deserve. Biblically speaking, it's satanic. Victim culture claims to deserve what they desire because they've been treated unfairly, and long and short of it, it's just a backwards way, not at putting Jesus first, but at putting self first. That's all it really is, uncovered. But when we hear those scriptures understood through Christ, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, there's none righteous, no, not ones, it means that there really aren't any true victims save one. There was one true victim. Never sinned. Loved people all day long, every day for 33 years of his life. And they murdered him. Thank God that's not how he treats us. Have we sinned against him? We said it at the beginning of our church service. Yeah, we have. Broken his commands? Mm-hmm. On purpose? Mm-hmm. Many times over? Uh-huh. But look what he does. If you didn't hear anything else I said, hear this. Look what he does. He's showing us at the transfiguration of Jesus that even God the Father puts Jesus first. Yeah. Grants his only begotten Son preeminence in your punishment and in mine. He places you and I after him. The Bible word for that is disciple, by the way. That's one that follows. He makes us the disciples and puts Jesus first into our suffering and our pain that we earned, and places us after him and him before us. And by doing so, we don't get what we earned. We still deal with sin and death in our world, and we know that. But the fact is, humanity's earned for itself a whole lot worse than that. Think of all the good things that exist in your day, in your week, in your month, in your year. Thousands upon thousands of blessings. They're innumerable. It's crazy. If you really stop and think for just a second about the blessings, like you're breathing right now, you're here, you're healthy enough to be here, You got arms and legs, and you want to talk about go on for a long time if you got time, right? We could. Then why do the few bad things always get first place in our hearts? That's what the world, the devil, and our sinful flesh are trying to do, to take Jesus out of that first place and stick in what? Your problem and mine. Right in that spot, baby. Woo! Why? So that we'll turn to God and say, this is unfair. I'm the victim of this. Oh, I'm not saying we don't ever feel like victims, but I'm saying, empirically speaking, it isn't the case. All the good things that happen, and then we end up putting these few bad things up front, when it's Christ who actually comes first, not those things. What he did for us. This is how Paul will address this. He says in Philippians, think on the good things. If there's anything good, think on that. Think on the cross for you and for me. Think on the resurrection and the life that it promises us forever. Think on the ascension of Jesus and how it reshaped every single thing you do into something you can do for Christ. And the God of peace will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So it's the scriptures that reveal it. Jesus comes first. Christ comes first no matter what we face in this life. Nothing can take away the peace and the joy of Jesus going first and paying the full price of your sin and mine. So that we can hear these beautiful words again, that we're forgiven. And there's nothing between us and God. And even when the day comes, because it will, when we face death, square on in the face, Jesus went first into that as well. Walked right in before you in order that we might live forever by his power and have no fear in life and no fear in death. And this is the lesson of the transfiguration. Jesus comes first. Thank God. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. This time we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able as we confess our faith this morning to the words of the Apostles' Creed. The Apostles' Creed is found there on page 9 in your bulletin. I believe in God the Father Almighty,
maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
Continue with our prayer to the church now at this time. Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us. God, our Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace. That your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil, living whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your hands, we commend those that are in the prayers of our church this morning. We lift up Emily Johnson for healthy pregnancy and her family, Pam Rice, Kim King, John Brunnell, Ava Hoffman, Michelle Sechrist, Willadell Erke, Robert Hagedorn, Leonard Vigil, Sean Austin, Mike Kirk, Jim and Linda Holman, Audrey Price, Debbie Ford, Carolyn Jury, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santisteven, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. Lord, we lift up all who are in need, praying for them at all times, thy will be done. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us our daily bread, preserve us from greed and selfish cares, and help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice and a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And lastly, O Heavenly Father, deliver us from all evil of both body and soul, now and forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. We come to the time in our service where our offerings are collected and presented to the altar. While our ushers collect the offerings this morning, we invite you to turn over to hymn 411, I Want to Walk as a Child of the Light. And we sing that together during our offering time. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning into our service. Or if you've been watching online later, we wish you the Lord's blessings in Christ Jesus. We continue to encourage you and trust in the Lord to provide all your needs in body and soul. If you're gathered with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn to page 11 in your bulletin for our service of the sacrament. And we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for the preface. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who at his transfiguration revealed his glory to his disciples that they might be strengthened to proclaim his cross and resurrection, and with all the faithful look forward to the glory of life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of his body and his blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers. Deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Peace of the Lord be with you always.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK.